Thank you once again for joining us. I trust you have a Bible this morning. And we are looking at the book of Hebrews chapter 11, where we've been on Sunday mornings as we see the great examples of faith that God gives to us in this chapter. We'll see another example in verse number 29. Let's read this verse and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Verse 29 says, "By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your precious word. Lord, we thank you for the examples that you have given us that may encourage us, Father, and challenge us to live by faith. Lord, we thank you for every example that we have seen, that the lives of those who live by faith were not perfect. Lord, they were not ones who were sinless. Lord, there were not ones that never fell, but Lord, there were ones that chose to rise up in faith and to walk by faith, believing in you. And Lord, you did the miraculous and performed wonderful miracles of deliverances in their lives so that you may be glorified and you may teach us through your word what it means to live trusting in thee. Father, we ask once again that you would open up our eyes. Father, help us to see ourselves in the place of these examples of old. Help us, dear Lord, to know that you never change. And Father, you are our God, you are our Saviour. We thank you, Lord, that you promise to never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, we pray that as the Spirit of God teaches us and leads us into all truth this morning, that Lord, as we hear your word, as we obey your word, the Lord Jesus Christ will be glorified. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. I heard a story about a young boy who was in a house one day that caught fire and quickly fled to the roof for safety. Of course, that place of safety was not a place of safety for long, because as the house continued to burn, this young boy's life was in danger. As the father stood on the ground below with outstretched arms, he called to his son, "Jump, I'll catch you." But you see, the son could not see what the father could see. All the son could see was the black smoke. All the son could see below was the flames. All the son could feel was the fear within his heart. As you can imagine, the son was afraid to jump off the roof into his father's arms. His father kept yelling, "Jump, I will catch you." But the boy protested, "Daddy, I can't see you. I can't jump." The father replied, "Yes, I know, but I can see you. And that is all that matters." And what a wonderful little illustration when it comes to putting our faith in God. You know, the Bible tells us the just shall live by faith. And living by faith is not living by sight. And the Christian life, the Christian faith, enables you and I to do the impossible. It enables you and I to overcome the fears of death, the fears of life. How? Not because we can see a way through. Not because we can see how the impossible will happen. But we can have faith that overcomes our fears. Not because we can see, but because we are seen by God. You see, that's what faith is, brethren. And this month we've been looking at the subject of conquering our fears by faith. So far we've seen the example of Moses in this month. We saw how Moses overcame some of his personal fears to return to Egypt. And then we saw how he overcame some potential fears as the wrath of the king was against him. Last week we saw a wonderful picture of salvation in the Passover meal. The precious blood of the Lamb that was shed and slain for you and I, so that we may be redeemed, brought back to God by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this morning we are going to look at the faith of the nation of Israel. The Bible says in verse 29, "By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned." The Bible tells us that there is a lesson of faith to be found in verse number 29. As Moses leads the nation of Israel out of Egypt, they come to what you might say is their first test of faith.
Now we know that Moses was a great man of faith, would you agree? He overcame some mountains of faith already, but now it was time for the nation of Israel to grow in a faith of their own. Here we find their first test, and here we find, verse 29 tells us, and this is God's testimony, his statement of faith, verse 29, by faith they, what are the next two words? Pass through. And that's the lesson for us this morning. Faith passes through. Faith passes through impossible obstacles. Faith passes through impossible situations. When you and I find ourselves in situations in our lives that we think that all the doors are shut, we are overwhelmed with the difficulties and the trials and we cannot possibly see any way through, thank God that there is a way through. And that is a way. That is the path of faith. Faith passes through. Well, notice as we turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 14, let's look in our Bibles to what exactly was taking place as the nation of Israel were about to cross through the Red Sea. Exodus chapter number 14. First of all, we're going to see their fearful position. Before they crossed through the Red Sea by faith, the nation of Israel had to be confronted by their fears. Notice Exodus chapter number 14. Thank you for turning with me there. Notice verse number 8. After the Israelites had been led out by Moses, verse 8 tells us, "And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Baal-zephon." The Bible tells us here in Exodus chapter 14 that as the nation of Israel left Egypt, the Lord led them out with a high hand. All the judgments that befell Egypt brought Pharaoh to his knees, and not only did he permit the nation of Israel to leave, in fact, he commanded them to go. He wanted them to leave. But you see, Pharaoh had not repented towards God. His heart was still hard, and God allowed him to amass the entire army of the nation of Egypt, the greatest army on the face of the world, to pursue after the Israelites, to pursue after the nation of Israel. The Bible tells us that the enemy was in pursuit. And as the nation of Israel approached what we know as the Red Sea, suddenly they found themselves in an impossible situation. You see, the Bible tells us that before the nation of Israel stood the Red Sea, it was a sea that was impossible to cross. It could not be swam over. It wasn't a shallow bed of water. It was a deep body of water. There were mountains on either side of the nation of Israel, and when they turned around, they screamed. When they turned around, they were suddenly afraid. Notice with me verse number 10. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 10. Now, how did the people feel? In verse number 10, the Bible says, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, and the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were," what are the next two words? "Sore afraid." Friends, this does not just mean that they were fearful. The word "sore afraid" means that they were in pain. They were so afraid that they could feel the pain of their own fear. Let me ask you this morning, have you ever been so worried and so afraid that you started to feel sick, that your stomach started to tense up, that your heart perhaps started to beat faster than it ever did before, and you were so afraid that you started to physically feel the effects of that fear? That's what was taking place in the heart of God's people. Yes, they were walking by faith. Yes, they were rejoicing in the victories of the past, but suddenly they turned around, they saw that they were stuck. They saw the Egyptians in pursuit, and they were sore afraid. Now, can you imagine with me for a moment, young people, what it was like to stand there? Remember, they were stuck, and they could see what they could see, could they not? They turned around, and they saw no less than 600 of Pharaoh's chosen chariots charging towards them at great speed in the wilderness. Can you imagine the battle cries that the nation of Israel overheard as this army was charging towards them? Can you imagine they could hear the whips on the horse's back and they could see the gleaming gold of the chariots headed towards them? They could see the gleaming armory and weaponry of the Egyptians reflecting in the sun. And as the Egyptians grew nearer and nearer, moment by moment, they became more and more afraid. You see, God's people were in a fearful position. We could imagine ourselves in their shoes. Perhaps what we have done would have been the same. To be sore afraid. To be so afraid that we would be found trembling. And we would feel the pains of that fear. Now, as we begin, let me say this, that when you and I take our eyes off the Lord, when you and I are not living by faith, that is what will happen in our hearts. This is what will happen in our lives. The fears of life can be so overwhelming, would you agree, that you and I can also be sick to our stomachs at times. And when you and I experience such a fear, it's a good opportunity for us to step back and say, hang on a second, maybe right now I'm not living by faith. Maybe God has allowed me to be put in this situation for my good, that I may learn to trust in Him. You see, God was testing the nation's faith. This was not the end for them, by any means. This was not the end of the road. But to them, that's what they perceived it to be. They were sore afraid. Notice Exodus chapter 14. As we continue on in these verses, notice verses 11 and 12. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Verse 12, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Wow, what a statement. You might say this morning, how could the nation of Israel say such a thing when God had performed such great miracles in their very sight? Well, they complained and they murmured and they were even willing to return to Egypt. Why? Because they had stopped living by faith. They were now living by fear. And beloved, that's what happens to you and I when we take our eyes off God. When you and I are living by fear and not by faith, everything gets turned upside down. You see, fear is the opposite to faith. And so often we don't realize that more often than not we're living by fear. What we are saying are words of fear. You know what happens when you and I are fearful? When we stop appropriating God's grace to live by faith, what happens is we start to complain. Would you agree that's what the nation of Israel did? As soon as they found themselves in an impossible situation and they were sore afraid, they started to complain. Notice also what they did. Who did they blame? They blamed Moses. They blamed Moses. Can you imagine? You see, that's the ferocity of our sinful flesh. And it is not of the Lord. The Bible says, I have not given you the spirit of fear. Amen? The Lord says, but of love and of joy and of a sound mind. When you and I are fearful, that's not of faith. And their response was carnal because they weren't living by faith. They were looking for someone else to blame. They weren't blaming God. They weren't blaming themselves. They were blaming Moses. They were saying to Moses, Moses, how could you do this to us? How could you lead us out here to die in the wilderness? They were complaining. They were complaining. But what I want us to realize this morning is that the nation of Israel, notice very carefully, they were not in a hopeless position. They thought that they were, but we know in practical reality, in the life of faith, they were not hopeless at all, would you agree? They had great hope. In fact, one of the greatest victories that were to be kept in the minds of the nation of Israel throughout all generations was about to happen. But in their own very sight, They were blinded by their fear. You see, our fears cause us to lose our vision, our sight of God. Our fears cause us to lose the reality of what is really our own fault. You know, when we find ourselves blaming others for the circumstances we are in, we need to understand that we're not looking to God by faith. That's what the nation of Israel did. They were sore afraid. They began to complain and they even blamed Moses. But it wasn't the Red Sea that was the problem. It wasn't the mountains that had trapped them in. It wasn't the nation of Egypt that were hot on their tails in pursuit. No, the problem was what was taking place in their own hearts. The problem was their fear. It was their fear, if you will, that enclosed them about. It was their fear that entrapped them. It was their fear that caused their knees to become feeble. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that God chastens us. Why? Because He wants to strengthen our feeble knees. He wants our hands to be lifted up in service for Him. And so He chastens us. He tests us. He trains us. He educates us in the Christian life. And this was a time of testing for the nation of Israel. They were in a fearful position. Let me encourage you to see, church family, that God puts us in positions in life where we must face our fears. Why? Because He wants to torture us. Do you think that's why He allows that? Because He wants us to be fearful? No, because He wants to test what kind of faith we really have. C.H. Spurgeon once said, "A faith that is untested is sure to remain a weak faith." You see, God tests our faith. He puts us in fearful situations so that we may learn to trust in Him. Let me ask you this morning, what fearful position do you find yourself in at the moment? Perhaps like the nation of Israel of old, you are sore afraid. Perhaps when you think of that situation, you feel sick to your stomach. Now, I know what that feels like because I also, as a Christian, experience those situations. God allows them to happen. Why? So that we may learn what to do in the Christian life. Amen? The just shall live by faith. And the moment that you and I receive Jesus Christ as Savior, we are placed into God's holy school of faith. And that is not just like the school you and I grew up in as primary students and high schoolers. No, this is a brand new school. And we start in kindergarten, amen? We start learning what it means to trust in God for the first time in our lives. And guess what? Only until we see the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be in the school of faith. God will continue to educate us and to train us. God will continue to deal with our fears. But let me challenge you this morning. Don't allow yourself to remain sore afraid. Don't allow yourself to accept a life of complaining and murmuring and of blaming others from that which you've allowed into your heart, the fear. Perhaps you're fearful at work or at school. Perhaps you're fearful when it comes to the area of finances. Perhaps you're fearful when it comes to the subject of your health, your physical health, in witnessing. You know, so many of our choices today as Christians are not determined by our faith in God, but are led by our fears. What will the world be like in 10 years' time? Well, we better choose a career that we think will be profitable in the future. That's what our career advisors tell us. But what does the Bible say? The just shall live by faith. And the Bible says if we surrender our lives to God as a living sacrifice, He will show us what is the perfect will of God. And He will lead us into the way which will be profitable eternally for our future. But yet you see the fears of the world can come in. The fears in our families, the fears in our home, the fear of finances. A fearful position. Well, that's the position that the nation of Israel, would you agree, found themselves in. We don't need to go further into that truth, but that's where God wanted to do a work in their lives. Be encouraged. God doesn't want you to stay there. Amen. God doesn't want you to continue to be overwhelmed by your fears, because we've seen the fearful position they're in. Notice, secondly, we will see the way of victory. And friends, there is a way through that impossibility. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29, by faith they passed through. And you and I can pass through those trials. You and I can pass through those fears, but only by means of faith in the living God, the way of victory. Notice with me in Hebrews chapter 14. Are you still with me this morning? Hebrews chapter number 14. There is a way through. And the nation of Israel did experience the victory of faith. Exodus chapter 14. Apologies, I may have misquoted the reference. Exodus chapter 14. Now, by now we know Moses was a man of faith. And can you imagine how difficult it was for Moses to lead the nation of Israel? He had learnt to trust in the living God through the trials that God had led him through. But the nation of Israel now had to choose to put their trust in God. They now were faced with the first test of faith. And Moses gave several commands that God told him to give the nation of Israel to lead them into the way of victory. And I believe that these commands of God and these truths of God are just as real in your life and mine as they were in the day of Moses. The way of victory. Notice several commands in Exodus chapter 14. Notice verse number 13. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." Well, what is the way of victory through the impossibilities in our lives? Well, notice verse number 13. The first command is this: "Fear ye not." Now, you might say this morning, that sounds too simple to be practical in my life, but no, it is not. The Bible says, "Fear ye not." God says we live in fearful circumstances, but as Christians, we are not to fear the circumstances around us. "Fear ye not." Why? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. We are able to stand without fear because of who God is in our lives, because of the presence of the living God. Now, just like that child on top of the burning building, though he could not see the arms of his father below, all he could see was the fearful sight of the smoke and the flames. The father was simply calling him to jump, to trust in him, and he will catch him into his arms. You see, the child was comforted by the presence of the father, by the voice of the father. And God tells us that we don't need to fear because we have God, our Savior, present in our lives as Christians. We can experience the way of victory through our fears because of God in our lives. Notice Psalm chapter 27. We'll come back to Exodus 14. The Psalms are a wonderful example of overcoming fear by faith. Notice the book of Psalms. Psalm 27. Psalm 27 and verse number 1. Why don't we read this verse aloud together, shall we? Psalm chapter 27 and verse 1 on 2. 1, 2. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" You see, the psalmist David was saying, and we know by reading the Psalms, there were many times that his heart was overwhelmed. There were many times that he felt the sorrows of fear in his heart. But the Bible tells us, as he put his faith in the Lord, he was able to stand still and not be afraid. He was able to not be afraid. Why? Because the Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. You see, if we have God in our lives, friends, that then the Bible tells us that we can live without fear. not because of the courage we have in our own selves, not because of the strength we have in our own bodies, not because of the way out that we could possibly work out. No, because of the living God and the promises of God in His precious Word. When David was fleeing from his own son that tried to kill him, in Psalm chapter 3 he said this, "I laid me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about." Now the nation of Israel only had 600 chariots against them. But David said by faith, "Though there be 10,000s of people surrounding me round about, I will not be afraid. I won't be afraid." Why? Because the Lord will sustain me. See, the just shall live by faith. What is the way of victory? To trust in the Lord. To put our trust in Him. The words, "Fear not," and "Fear ye not," can you imagine, are mentioned more than 70 times in the Word of God. "Fear not," God says. "Fear ye not," God says. Over 70 times. Do you know what that means, Christian? That means every time you and I find ourselves afraid, there is a "fear ye not" to apply to our lives. There is a "fear not" to apply to that fearful situation. The question is, are you listening to the Word of God? Are you diving into the Word of God? See, Moses told them what they needed to do, and he said, "Stop being afraid. Behold the salvation of the Lord." Friend, what are you afraid of? The way of victory is not a way of fear. It is a way of faith, trusting in the Lord. Notice verse number 13 in Hebrews chapter 14. Turning to a few different verses this morning. We're back in Exodus chapter 14. And I'm quoting a lot of wrong verses. Excuse me for that. Exodus chapter 14. And notice verse 13. Moses told them rightly, "Fear ye not." You might say this morning, "Pastor, you don't know what I'm afraid of." Well, God does. And it's His presence in your life and mine that makes all the difference. Amen. "Fear ye not." Notice secondly, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Now, why did Moses tell them to stand still? What do you think was occurring when the whole nation of Israel turned around and saw the Egyptians approaching? Do you think that they were standing still? I don't think so. I probably assume, because Moses told them to stand still, that they weren't standing still. And I see three possibilities of what was taking place in these people's heart, in God's people's hearts. Well, first of all, maybe they were tempted to run away. Maybe they were so afraid, they were tempted to retreat, and we already know maybe they were tempted to go back to Egypt. Maybe they were tempted to give up on God's plan for their lives. You know, as a Christian, oftentimes that's one of the choices we make. We find ourselves so afraid, so overwhelmed with the issues of life, that we think that one possible choice or way out of this situation is to run away from it. How many of you would agree with me this morning that running away is not a solution? The Bible tells us, in fact, even one time David said, did he not, in the Psalms, that he said, "I wish I had birds of a wing. I wish I had the wings of a bird, the wings of a dove, that I may fly away from this situation." But read the rest of the Psalm. That's how he felt. But then he put his faith in the living God and had victory. But sometimes that's how you and I feel. You see, the people were not standing still. Some of them perhaps were tempted to run away. Some of them perhaps were tempted to just fall down and collapse in a heap of fear. Now that's sometimes something you and I do. When we find ourselves stuck, when there is no way through, and we feel in our hearts the soreness of the fear that we've allowed in, sometimes that pain, that suffering causes us to fall into a heap, fall into a heap of self-pity, fall into a heap of complaining, fall into a heap of depression and discouragement. Friends, that's not a way out either. That's not the way that God had planned for the nation of Israel. Would you agree? Now, there's a third possibility, but we don't see them doing that. In fact, one of the solutions that Israel often adopted was to blame Moses, and they said, well, let's do something, let's stone Moses. Let's get rid of this leader who has led us into this mess. And perhaps some of the nation of Israel were tempted to do that and say, well, let's do something to fix this problem. And I believe those are the three problems that are recurring in your life and mine when we find ourselves in fearful situations. Either we give up, or we try to run away, or we think we can fix the situation. But none of these solutions are God's way of victory. What is God's way? Well, notice Psalm 46, verse 10. Let me read it out for you so we don't need to turn there. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. What was God's command to the people of God? It was to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, I've heard many Christians in the past say to me, Pastor, that's one thing I cannot and I will not do. I cannot stand still. I need to do something. Friends, the just shall live by faith. Standing still does not mean doing nothing, men. We are the ones that have the problem with pride. We are the ones that refuse to stand still. And it would be good for us this morning to hear the word of God, because the Bible says, stand still, doesn't end there, Exodus 14, and see the salvation of the Lord. You see, God is saying this morning, we need to trust in God and believe that He is at work. We stand still, but by faith, believing that He will do the action. That is faith in action, my friends. God doesn't expect you to do nothing. He expects you to live by faith. Amen? Faith. Faith means trusting that God will do the impossible. So many times, especially as men, we think, well, that's not an option. I need to fix it, or I'm just going to run away. And look, if the worst comes to worst, I'm just going to collapse in a heap. And we go through all the options of the flesh before we hear the word of God, which says, stand still. And God says, let me show you what I will do. But first of all, I'm going to deal with your fears, Christian. I'm going to cause you to stand still. Stop running away, Christian, from your problems. Amen? Stop murmuring and complaining, Christian. Stop collapsing in a heap. Stand still. How? On the promises of the word of God, and behold the salvation of the promises of the Lord. Stand still and see. Friends, what are you looking at when you are in fear? Well, what do I look at? I look at the circumstances that have caused me to fear. And you know what I do? I analyze them deeper and deeper. And I say, wow, if this is happening to me now, then if I project that down 10 years of my life, this situation, then I'm going to find myself out on the street with no money. God is going to abandon me. I'll be left in a worse off situation than I am right now. And we murmur and we complain, but we fail to look away from our problems so often and then see by faith the salvation of the Lord. You see, the just shall live by faith. We walk by faith, not by, say it. Let's say it again. We walk by faith and not by sight. See, if the nation of Israel were to turn around for a moment, and they were, they would have seen a terrible, horrific sight. But God says, I want you to see something else. I want you to see the unseen, which only you can see by eyes of faith. But there is a way of victory. I want you to stand still. Be still and know that I am God. Fear not. And see the salvation of the Lord. You see, would you agree this morning that the Israelites could not see the way out? Would you agree to that? Now, we have the advantage of knowing what the way out was. God was going to perform the miraculous. He was going to open up the Red Sea before them, but they could not see that. They were like the child on top of the burning building, and all they could see were the flames. All they could see was the peril. But God says, I want you to look past that. How? By faith. By faith in the Lord. Faith in knowing that we can live by faith and not by fear. Why? Because He is God. He will be exalted among the heathen. He will be exalted in the earth. He will be exalted in your life and mine if we simply trust in the Lord. We cannot see what God will do, but He can see us. And that is all that matters. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Let me ask you this morning, has there been a point in your life that you experienced the salvation of the Lord? Has there been a time in your life that you repented of your sins and you put your faith in Jesus Christ alone as your personal Savior from sin? Has there been a time in your life that you experienced God's once and for all forgiveness of sin through the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ? Friend, the Bible tells us that we cannot come to God in our sin. That we are all sinners, condemned by our sins. We deserve the holy wrath and judgment of God. We are stuck, if you will. We are stuck in our sins. We are in fact dead in our sins and trespasses, the Bible says. There's nothing good that we can do to earn our way to God and to an eternal place in heaven. But the good news is that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, came down to this wicked, sin-cursed earth, and there on that cross of Calvary, He shed His holy blood to pay for your sins and mine. And the wrath of God's judgment upon our souls was satisfied by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then on the third day, He rose again from the dead, so that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friends, that is a promise of God. Perhaps you're here this morning and you've never seen the salvation of the Lord. Perhaps you've never stood still and realized there's nothing I can do to get myself out of my sins. I'm stuck. I'm enclosed by my sins. I cannot change the past. I cannot undo what I have done. I am a wretched sinner before God. Friends, that's what the Bible says of all of us. But if you would simply look to the Lord and see the salvation of the Lord, friend, today could be the day of your salvation. You can choose to repent and turn from your sins and turn to Christ and ask Him to save you today. And the Bible tells us that if we come to Christ as Savior, He will forgive. He will save. Though you may not be able to see how it will happen, or you may not be able to understand why God in such great love, when we deserve His judgment, would choose to love us so much to die for our sins. Maybe you cannot possibly understand how He could do that. Yet the promise is still true. Would you look to Him by faith this morning? Would you trust the Savior to forgive you once and for all? Jesus said you must be born again. There must be a time in your life where you turn to Christ as Savior. The salvation of the Lord. Now, for those of us who have seen the salvation of the Lord, would you agree with me this morning? There should be no reason in our hearts to trust the Lord to deliver us from the problems to come. Friend, if He could deliver us from so great a judgment, He could deliver us with His precious blood, how can He not deliver you and I from the rest of the problems in our life? Amen? If He has delivered us from the greatest problem, our sin debt before a holy God, how can He not deliver you and make a way out? In fact, not a way out, a passing through the trial at hand. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Notice verse number 14 of Exodus 14. What is the way of victory? Here's another step. Notice with me verse number 14 of chapter 14. What does the Bible say? Let's say it together. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Friends, this promise is echoed throughout the Word of God. Stand still. But Pastor, I can't stand still. I need to fix it. I need to come up with a new blueprint for the rest of my life. I'm going to fix this problem no matter what it takes, and then I'll just pretend that God is part of the solution because I've prayed a few prayers a few times. But really, it's my solution. Don't tell anyone. That's what we do. We come up with our own solution. And what does God say to the nation of Israel? He says, stop talking. Notice verse 14. Hold your peace. Stop complaining. Stop murmuring, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Why? Because the Lord shall fight for you. The Lord shall fight for you. Friends, when you and I come to the Red Sea of our lives, when you and I find ourselves in hopeless situations, we need to remember we have a rock of salvation, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our shield and our mighty defender. Amen. He is the one who will fight for us. God just expects us to stand still and put an active faith in the promises of God. He will fight for you, friend. He will fight for me. If we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, Romans chapter 8, 31 tells us, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, say it, who can be against us? Who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? In another place in the Word of God, the Bible says to the nation of Israel, who were overwhelmed by the enemy, the prophet of old said to the nation of Israel, in fact, he said to one of his disciples, not the nation of Israel, I believe it was Elisha, said to one of his disciples, he said, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Why? Because if God be for us, who can be against us? They that be with us are more than they that be with them. And thank God, my friend, we have the promises of the Word of God so that we, when we find ourselves in a fearful situation, we know that it's the enemy that is outnumbered. Why? Because the Lord is with us. You see, if it's just you and the Lord, friends, that makes you a majority in any fearful situation. And all God's people said, amen. That is why it's so important to live by faith. If we don't live by faith, guess what? You're the minority. You're living in fear. I'm alone. God has abandoned me and I'm stuck. There is no way through. Does that sound familiar? I believe it is for all of us. We all experience that loneliness that fear brings. The reality is God has not left us at all. He has not abandoned us one bit. But we have looked away from Him because of our fears. And God says to the nation of Israel, the Lord shall fight for you. And I'm sure, knowing that, they certainly held their peace. Let me challenge you this morning, Christian, to stop complaining and start trusting. Hold your peace, because the Lord will fight for you. Lastly, in verse 15, what was the last command Moses gave to the people? And this is ironic regarding this situation. Notice Exodus 14 and verse 15. At the end of the verse, what does the Lord tell Moses to command the people to do? Two words at the end. What does it say? Go forward. Now, hang on a second. Let's be practical here for a moment. The Red Sea is in front of them. The Egyptian army is in hot pursuit behind them. There are mountains either side. And hang on a second, God is saying, go forward. Now that sounds ridiculous. Would you agree? That sounds absolutely impossible. But these are the very situations that God allows in your life and mine, that we may experience the way of victory. You see, in those situations, there is a way through. By faith they passed through, the Bible says. Yes, there is a way through. And the only way through is by faith. By faith alone. Yes, you can go through that trial. Yes, you can move forward in that trial. How? Well, you can read more of the Word of God. Amen. You can listen to more of God's Word and claim more of His promises by faith. You can pray more than you've ever prayed before. Dare I say, you can even fast. Amen. The Lord said, if you want to see mountains move by faith, you better start praying and fasting. You better show me that you're serious about the Christian life. Prayer. Fasting. Yes, we can move forward in our faith by trusting in the living God. Yes, we can move forward by being in church, amen, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Friends, there are red seas that you and I will face in this generation and in the future to come that previous generations have never faced. And what is God's word of wisdom? He said, every time the doors are open in church, be there. Be there as you see the day approaching, as the matters around us become worse, as the world around us becomes a more and more fearful place to live. Who would have ever thought, young people, that Europe would be the number one most undesirable place to go in this generation? In my day, when I was growing up, it was the number one tourist destination. Today, friends, Europe is on the brink of war. Europe is descending into chaos. They are no longer the jewel of the world, falling into chaos financially, politically, morally, religiously, in absolute chaos. Who would have ever thought? Friends, we live in a fearful day, do we not? Nations are crumbling. Our moral fabric has descended into absolute catastrophe. So how does the Christian live? Well, God says you can move forward by faith. Be in church. Amen. That's for free. That's not from the verses we're looking at. Amen. God said to the Israelites, and here's an application, stay together, stand still, don't run away. Stay where I've put you. Amen. Stay together. I want you to move forward. There's a way forward together. Now, there's something in that. There is a way forward. We can go forward. We can go forward when the doors are shut. We can go forward. We can step forward in faith, believing that God will open up a way of victory. Let me encourage you to make that the option that you choose when you find yourself in a fearful place. Lastly, let's close with their great deliverance. Friend, if we find ourselves in a fearful place, and if we choose to follow God's way of victory, then we will experience what the nation of Israel experienced, their great deliverance. Notice back in Exodus chapter number 14. The Bible says in verse 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Just some simple truths to end with this morning. Notice God made a way. Would you agree? God made a way. Hang on, it was impossible. It was impossible to foresee what God will do. Amen. That's exactly how God works. He delights to shock us. He delights to show Himself strong in our lives. But He delights when you and I put our trust in Him, that He will. Who could have ever imagined that God will blow the sea in two and create a walkway, pathway between two walls of the sea? Who could have ever imagined? Now, we're not shocked by that because we've read the Bible. We've been in Sunday school. We know the stories. But imagine how surprised the Israelites were as they stood still and they say, all right, let's see what God will do. We can't do anything. There's no way that we can fix this situation. But the way out, the way forward is to trust in God. And suddenly, God opened up the Red Sea. God did the impossible. Friend, let me encourage you that there is a way forward. And God will make the way. He will make the way. He makes the way for us to go forward. Ways in which we cannot imagine. Their murmuring displeased God. But when they chose to trust in Him, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. God was pleased by their faith. To record their example, as Moses raised the rod and the sea opened up, God recorded not Moses' example, but the nation of Israel's example. As a people, they put their faith in the Lord. Notice Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, we've read verse 21. Notice verse 22. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea. How did they do that? By faith. By faith they walked into the midst of the sea upon dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on to the left. God made a way. And God made a way when they thought it was impossible. Friend, I don't know what the obstacle is in your life, what that difficulty is. I'm not sure what is causing you to fear this morning. I know what's in my heart. I know what causes me to fear. But whatever that obstacle may be, may I encourage you that God made a way, and He made a way when they thought it was impossible. Now, how many of you are encouraged by that truth this morning? That God made a way when they thought it was impossible. Friends, are we learning a little bit about what it means to live by faith? Not by sight. Never by sight. Never ever by sight. But by faith alone. But you don't know. No, by faith. But I need to fix. No, by faith. The flesh is strong. Let me guarantee you, the flesh is right there trying to solve the problem for you and get you into a worse mess than you are in right now. And God is saying, I'll make a way, but I want you to wait on me. I want you to stand still. And when I show you, I want you to rejoice because I will make a way. I will make a way when you think it is impossible. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 32, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out And I stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. You and I will be convinced that there's nothing too hard for God. With God, all things are impossible, according to His will, if we'd simply trust in Him. Notice God made, lastly, an obstacle into a way of deliverance. This is amazing. God made an obstacle into a way of deliverance. What God's people thought was going to end their very lives turned into a resounding miracle that they would remember for the rest of their lives. Not only did God allow them to pass through by faith, but He destroyed their enemies once and for all, forever. Notice what the Bible tells us in verse 23. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them, to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and his horsemen. Notice verse number 28 for a moment. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. They all died. They all perished. Now, the liberal theologians would have us to believe that the Israelites did not cross the Red Sea, they crossed the Reed Sea. And it was just a shallow depth of water. Now, we have a problem there because my Bible tells me they walked across on what kind of land? Swampy land? Reed-like land? No, on dry land. Our Bibles tell us, does not the Word of God say, that there was a wall of water on the left and there was a wall of water on the right? Friends, this was a deep body of water. That's what God says. God said He parted the water by a strong east wind. There were walls of water on either side, and the ground was completely dry. Not only did the nation of Egypt pass through, but God used their greatest obstacle to provide them a way of deliverance. See, the challenge you're facing right now, you might be in a place where you think this is the end of you. This is it. Why, whatever God has allowed in your life, He must want you to die. And therefore, this is the end. But what an encouraging reality that God can turn our greatest obstacle by faith into one of the greatest victories in our Christian life. Friend, that's what God desires us to do in our lives. He delights to turn that obstacle into a way of deliverance. Friend, you have no possible comprehension, and neither do I, how God can take that challenge that you and I are faced with and we are fearful about and turn it into a victory of faith that will enable us to overcome greater trials of faith in the years ahead. That's why God says the just shall live by faith. There are many mountains to climb. Not sure what mountain you're facing this morning, but I dare say some of us are trying to climb it without God. I dare say some of us are falling down and sliding back down because we've given up on God. I dare say some of us have taken our eyes off the Lord and we're looking at the Egyptians right now in hot pursuit. Friend, where are you this morning? In conclusion, God is able to open up the sea. He is able to lead us through with a high hand, and He is able to lead us onwards, rejoicing in the Lord. That's what the Israelites did. As they reached the other side, what did they do? Moses sang a wonderful song of praise, and they had a worship service on the other side of the sea, and they worshipped the living God. Friends, that's the result of faith. Will you allow God to help you to conquer those fears by faith this morning?